Good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to come here to show my recent work. Today we'll talk about how to identify the metastable state and the transition network in protein or in polypeptide systems. First, I like to make an announcement. Next year, in Kafli Institute in Beijing, there are a similar programs about advanced simulation method. It's we will focus on this different topic and welcome to participate. About the multi-scale modeling and simulation, we focus on the three sides. First is that we try to understand simulation data. It's a data mining. Second, we do the coarse-graining, and we also do some work about the enhanced sampling and accelerating dynamics. Today, I will focus on the first one, and if time is allowed, I will talk a little about the coarse-graining. Molecular dynamic simulation data is often very complicated. The dimension is very high, 3N dimension, and the size of a sample is often large. For example, millions configuration, and we want to find the complicated structure from this simulation data. This complicated structure corresponding to the complex free energy landscape of the systems. Traditionally, we project the simulation data to lower dimension space by choosing one or two order parameter, for example, and distance, radius of the duration, or MSD or something. Then we can construct the free energy profile in one or two dimension space, and we identify the free energy well as states and the barriers as transition states. Then we can get the kinetics and see. But this method is often biased by the kinetics because only we project the data to the reaction coordinate space, we can get the correct kinetic. It's usually hard to find the reaction coordinate for real system. Recently, people try to use clustering method directly find the metastable state in high dimension space, for example, even in 3N dimension space. This clustering analysis, this picture shows the basic idea of the clustering analysis. First, we calculate we define a distance matrix. A distance between each pile of point or of our configuration. Then, from this matrix, we can cluster this conformation into some group. Each group is inside the group is much closely connected. Then we set this a state with another state. There are a lot of clustering algorithm in mathematics, but normally the result is not very stable, and we possibly use many adjusted parameters to get results. For example, first possibly we need to set how many states we have, then we try to get the results. This is an example to use the clustering analyzing to get the metastable state and the kinetics in biosystems. Directly calculate the geometric or geometric difference between the configuration. Then we do this clustering. Here is a dipeptide result. For example, we can use a Markov chain model to do that. The Markov chain model first divides the configuration into some many macrostates, for example, thousands, from millions to thousands. Then we estimate the transition rate matrix among these macrostates by counting the transition events along trajectory. Then we use mathematical clustering algorithm to get macrostate. It's a bottom-up method. Usually we try to go another way from top to down. We try to directly get the macro metastable state first, then get more details, not build microscopic state force, then catch the macro state. So we developing a trajectory mapping method to do that. This method the clustering trajectories, not individual configurations. Each trajectory includes a lot of configuration. We sort each trajectory as a point and clustering the trajectory to get the metastable state. This is the advantage of this method. I will show the detail of this method, then we can understand why this method have this kind of advantages. So this is a detail of trajectory mapping. First, we map each molecular dynamic trajectory to a high dimension vector. The component of this vector is average value of some configuration function of a configuration rank functions along this trajectory. So if we choose a set of function and we calculate the average of this function, then we get the vector corresponding to this trajectory. We can sort this configuration function as the order parameter. But the difference is n can be very large, for example, hundreds or thousands. Sorry. In complex systems, the metastable state possibly have a very complicated boundary or shape or size. So if we directly clustering the configuration and to get this this group is usually not easy. But if we map the trajectory, we will find this trajectory, many trajectory possibly mapped to the same point, because when we said here is a metastable region, it means the trajectory can reach local equilibrium distribution inside this region. So from the central limit theorem, the mapped vector will be located at the same point. and possibly a trajectory transition among a few states, not only located inside one state. If it happened, the mapped vector will located in a line. This line, the end of the line corresponding the metastable state. If a trajectory transition among the three states, the vector will be inside the triangle and so on. So here we already suppose the metastability of this metastable state. It means if a trajectory, if a tau line trajectory inside go into a region, a metastable region, they always reached local equilibrium before it transition out. This is a supposition. So it means if we map the trajectory to a vector, we already depress the intrastate fluctuation, configuration fluctuation, because we average in this state. But the intrastate fluctuation was kept. So here is the real example. We consider underlying dipeptide, underlying trial dipeptide, and we choose a lot of base function. It's the triangle function of the torsion angle. We simulate nanosecond trajectory. It means we run once very long molecular dynamic simulation trajectory, or we parallelly generated many short trajectory, and we cut the trajectory into 1 nanosecond, and we map each trajectory to one point, and we will find this high dimension space, the structure is very, very simple. I mean, here we have 4 metastable states for nanosecond scale to microsecond scale, and we have a 3 transition paths. At this point means this trajectory wasted these 3 states. And possibly we can also normalize the base function by this way. Means we do orthogonalize and normalize. Then we can build a connection between the mapped vector with the overlap of the distribution function. Here is the I trajectory distribution function. This is this J trajectory distribution function in conformation space. And we can define the inner product by this overlapping. And we can estimate this overlapping from the real inner product of the trajectory mapped vector. So if we do this, we can even calculate a single configuration, the inner product of the single configuration with metastable state, with identified metastable state. Then we can find this trajectory at the beginning located in the fourth state, at this point is the time. At this point, transition to the one state, and to the third state, and to the second state. When we do that, we don't need to know what the state are, and we don't need to know where the boundaries of the state located. We can directly use the sample calculation to find the transition trajectory. Then it's easy to get the lifetime of state and the transition matrix. Here is some details. It means the different states do not any overlap. This is the transition rate. We also simulate a longer trajectory, four microsecond trajectory, and we try to identify the metastable state in long time scale. First, we calculate the overlapping of this five trajectory. We find that no trajectories overlap completely. It means the 4 microseconds is not enough for equilibrium, because the result is dependent on the initial point. Then we cut the trajectory first to 200 nanoseconds. And get and analyze the state. Then we cut the remaining trajectory into shorter piece, and do that. We do the three time scales. Finally, we find 28 state, including more than 90% simulation data. Here is the metastable state and the transition network. At the long time scale, the 200 nanoseconds, we find two states. I mean, these two states, the lifetime is larger than 200 nanoseconds, and the local equilibrium time is smaller than this 200 nanoseconds. And we cut another. We kind of remind the trajectory into a short piece. We get more state and 20 nanoseconds and this the 2 nanoseconds. And we can count the transition events and to estimate the transition rate. From here we can find here is the nature, a native structure, but with a lot of several state in short time scale. The lifetime, we cannot get the lifetime of this native state, but we found the equilibrium time is about 1 microsecond. This is the whole folding network, and this is the unfolding state, this is the intermediate state. But this unfolding state and the intermediate state actually cannot be thought as a metastable state, because they transition out before they reach the local equilibrium. But this state is a microsecond scales and mode scale metastable state. So it's a downhill process, and in the early of the folding we have short time scales and metastable state. Here's some details. we can find the how trajectory and not how we can find the where and when the trajectory have been transitioned from one state to another state. This feature is similar to this one. We can find the trajectory at this point having the transition. Here is the transition inside the native structure. This result is robust. We can find from 0 to 1 transition. The noise is not obvious. And if we after we identify the state, we can focus on a special transition between the state and state, and we can try to find which order parameter or which reaction coordinate corresponding to this transition. If we use traditional order parameter, MSD and the distance or continuous solvation energies, we cannot identify, we cannot distinguish these different states completely. Each distribution is a state, is overlap each other. So I'd like to give a simple summary. The first trajectory mapping and a clustering can identify metastable state. In this clustering method, we already took into account the dynamic information, not only from the geometric similarities of the conformations. From here, we can define metastable state. What a good metastable state must satisfy this function. After getting this transition kinetic or the among the metastable state, we understand this system. And possibly, some state is separated in our simulation. The simulation is the length is finite, so we cannot find any transition events between the state and state. In that case, if it's necessary, we can focus on this state and use some two and fixed separation method, for example, transition path sampling, string method, and so on, to get the transition, the slow transition rate. And from here, we can directly use this mapping method to coarse-graining systems. Here, we actually define a distance between the samples from one sample and one trajectory or two trajectory or one sample or two sample. We already gave a distance definition. So when we do coarse-graining, actually we need this distance definition. When we do coarse-graining, first we need a mapping function. Then we need suppose the effective potentials formula. The most important thing is optimize the parameter of the effective potential by minimize the difference between these two systems, coarse-graining system and atomic systems. So what's this distance? Now we can use the distance between the sample. So for this coat running sample and this atomistic sample, we can define this distance, and we can choose some order parameter, lot of order parameter, and expand this distance as this function. If we compared with the traditional thermodynamic matching, we find this invoice the covariance matrix is omitted in traditional thermodynamic method. Means only we remove the correlation of we choose thermodynamic variables, we can define this distance, and we said this distance is corresponding to the difference of the probability density in the X space. So now we can give a summary about the relationship between the different coat-running matching. So here, the traditional thermodynamic variable matching was corrected by orthogonal normalized this variable. And we already know this method is almost same as the probability match density matching, or this free energy surface matching. And if we calculate the gradient of the free energy surface matching, in some case is saying is similar to the force matching. So it's a relation. And in principle, the number of the order parameter must be infinite, but in practice, it's much, much smaller the size of the sample. If we use more variables, it's correlated each other in statistical error under the ranging of the statistical error. So it's not necessary to use a lot of order parameter. And if we do that, any function, the deviation in this coat-running is smaller than this distance. We do one set of coat-running in the water model, and we are already very familiar to this potential and the radial distribution function, but the pressure is completely wrong. Why the pressure? The deviation of pressure is not controlled by the distance, because the macro function of the pressure is different in the coat-running and the atomic system. So the difference is very large. It means if we want to match the pressure, actually we need to match the probability density in an extended space. For example, we included the volume. If we match this one, the pressure will be matched again. So this summary. About this summary, I have a question. How to construct the most transferable coat-running model? Because this match method is actually a reverse Monte Carlo. The most the property of coat-running, the transferability, cannot be guaranteed. But if we match the probability in extended space, possibly is we possibly get better transferability. But so far I do not finish this work. Okay, thank you for your attention.
And you take your water simulations and you have this corrected pressure system. Can you say anything about the compressibility? Because the standard thing is that
you
match the GFRs and the compressibility fits, and then it you correct for the pressure and for your compressibility is wrong.
Yeah, you can say there's a distribution of the pressure. It's corresponding to the compressibility. So the distribution is the fluctuation of the pressure is correct, so is the compressibility is also correct in this case. This is directly CG. It's CG with pressure correction. The potential is different in this region.
This issue of the pressure not matching, it's come up in a few different talks, and I'm not sure I understand it, so I wanted to ask the question maybe to you or maybe to some other in the audience, but is it simply the issue that you use some procedure for coarse graining the model, let's say in an NVT ensemble, match forces, for example, and then if you use the same virial formula for the pressure that you would have used in the fine-grained model and apply it with the coarse coordinates, that you get the wrong pressure? I mean, is there any reason to believe that same virial formula should be appropriate in the coarse variables?
No.
So in our language, we would say that's operator renormalization, that you need to somehow change the quantity that you average to get your pressure in the coarse variable.
I think if we match something in NVT ensemble, it's almost impossible to match, to reconstruct the pressure. But unless we do some adaptive correction. But if we match, for example, the probability density in NPT ensemble, we can do that.
But Glenn, I think that if you use the virial, or if you put this in equilibrium with some wall, for example, you get the same force acting on the wall from these equations that this pressure is giving if they do the coarse grain simulation, yeah? So
when you match it to your model,
I don't think it's correct to say that there's a shift in the pressure. It's just that if you calculate the pressure from the coarse grain G and the coarse grain potential, you have no derivation that tells you that that's the pressure. You're saying, well, that it looks like the pressure, it looks like the same formula, but it's a different formula. It has a pressure, but it has nothing like the same physical meaning as the pressure of the original system. It's just like if you have a liquid and you get a pressure and you turn off the interactions, you get a different pressure. You can call that a shift in the pressure, but it's an entirely different system.
Yeah, that's different.
Okay.
Yeah.
It applies to
yeah.
Yeah. It's just another number.
Yeah, I think if in thermodynamic variables match, if we included pressure or included volumes, we can get the correct result.
I think also there's the issue that your potentials can be substantially density dependent if you're doing a bulk fluid. And so if you think about the virial as coming from a free energy derivative, you have to actually also account for how the potential varies with the density. So that makes it a little even more complicated. And especially with water, I mean, we find that that's responsible for all of the sort of water-like behavior you get in these simple coarse grain water models, that density dependence of the potential.
So in principle, something like the the first order term, the density dependent term that we heard about yesterday would correct for some of those things. Is that something that people have tried, something like an embedded atom potential term that's strictly density dependent?
Yeah,